Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being salt and light in the world, was recorded at our Summer Family Bible Conference and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's turn back over to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read these verses again. I've read them every time, but maybe you'll remember them. I've been talking all of this week about being salt and light. That's what Jesus told us that we are. It's not something we're trying to become. We are. We are salt. We are light. It's our nature to be this way. But you can hide your light under a bushel. You can keep it from shining. But it's your nature. This is the way that God made you. There's just a natural tendency for us to be salt and light. We just need to cooperate with it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Man, that's powerful. And that's what we've been talking about how that we have the power and the anointing of God on the inside of us. We are the antidote to the sickness that this world has and how we've got to get out and share that. And the last couple of times I've been really trying to emphasize that this isn't just a physical, natural battle that we're in, that there is a demonic spirit that is operating in people who are not born again. The spirit of Antichrist is alive and well. And in our society, I tell you, all of the godly foundations that this nation was founded upon are being attacked. And it's not just physical. It's not just normal. There is a supernatural demonic attack. And you and I are the light of God. And we are the way that God wants to change this. And so I've been really trying to emphasize these things and just motivate us to action. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 5. And I want to share this passage with you. I'm going to break right into the middle of a teaching, but this is basically a rebuke to the Israelites because they had turned away from God and they had walked away from the covenant that they originally had with God, and the Lord is ministering a rebuke unto them. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it." In other words, they're mocking God, saying, well, if God's really there, well, then manifest himself. Say something. Do something. They weren't wanting to walk by faith and stand on the covenant that had started their nation and all of these things. You know, this is one of the bad things, is that every generation or every individual just basically decides that they have to find God and find him if he exists on their own. And to a degree, there's some truth in that. You just don't swallow everything that's told you. You do have to confirm, and you have to have a personal relationship with God. God doesn't have any grandchildren. Everybody has to be first generation. So there is a partial truth there. But at the same time, let me ask you what your life would be like if you had to develop everything on your own and you didn't stand on the shoulders of people that had gone before you. You wouldn't have a car, for one thing. I doubt seriously if any of us would be able to produce, manufacture, invent, and perfect and develop a car if it was just totally on your own ability. And if you had to prove everything on your own and not just go out and take advantage of what other people have produced. You wouldn't be able to build a house. You wouldn't be able to have the communications that we've got today. We wouldn't be able to use television and radio. You know what? All of us are entering into the labors of other people, and you don't understand exactly how a radio works or how a television works or how a cell phone works, and yet you take advantage of it. You fly in airplanes, and you don't understand all of that. You don't have to go and redo everything on your own. And one of the sad things is that people, just like this, they are forgetting the underpinnings of that nation, how miraculous it was, You know, this is one of the things that, again, is part of being salt and light. God told us not to destroy the ancient landmarks. The Lord established feast days in the Jewish nation so that they could remember the Passover, the day that they were delivered out of Egypt, so that they would be able to teach their children when they said, why do we do this? Why do we eat bitter herbs? Why do we do all of these kind of things? It's so that you could teach your children and tell them we were all strangers, we were slaves in Egypt, and God brought us out supernaturally, and you could rehearse this. They had the Feast of Booths, where they had to leave their houses and go live in booths that were made from palm branches and stuff. And the reason was to remind them what it was like when they were strangers and they had to go through the desert and they lived in these makeshift houses and stuff. He had specific things to remind them and to keep them in memory. He gave us a command, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. The reason He commanded us not to forget is because we tend to forget. And it's a shame that really we see God manifest Himself. Great miracles happen, and then we forget. And our kids come along, and they don't have the same perspective, and so they go out, and how do we know that God exists? And they just go out, and they forsake it, and they have to reinvent everything all over again. Can you imagine how inefficient this is, that God has to just constantly be reproving Himself? And this is the reason that He gave us the Word. It says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 twice that all of these things happen for our examples so that we could learn through them. You don't have to learn everything by hard knocks. You don't have to go out and live through rebellion and get into drugs and alcohol and all of the different things that go on and learn things. You could learn by somebody else's testimony, amen. You can go to the Word of God and see what living ungodly will produce. You do not have to go out there and beat your head against the wall to decide that this hurts. Man, it's already been proven amply. And that's what the Word is given to us for. And so this is what these people are doing. They're saying, all right, God, just prove yourself, as if God had never done anything before. Unless we get real condemning towards them, you know what? A lot of us are just exactly that way. We'll see miracles happen. Last night we saw 75 or 100 people instantly healed. And many more, I'm sure, are healed. And they're in the process of seeing their bodies recover. We saw great things happen. And yet there will be people who go out and say, well, how do I know that that's for me? And you're just going to sit there and start over from ground zero and not take anything and not let God speak to you? That's not the way to do it. That's what these people were doing. And so in the next verse, in verse 20, he says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, to me, this is a really good characterization of where our nation is, where our society is. They basically are calling good evil and evil good. They're calling everything that is bitter sweet, and everything that is really sweet bitter. They're calling darkness light and light darkness. It's just a total perversion. Anything that's good and right, they make fun of. And anything that's evil, they glorify. And this is really characteristic of where we are today. And let me just say again that the reason that this has happened is because the church hasn't been the salt and the light that we're supposed to be. We've been silent. And we've allowed this to go forth. And the antidote for this is for us to start letting our light shine. To start speaking the truth. Again, do it in love. Don't be mean-spirited with this. But we've got to stand for right, and we've got to start making some decisions. And there has to be some things that are morally right, and there's absolutes. There's things that are absolutely right and absolutely wrong, and we have to start standing for that. And, you know, I could get into a lot of politics and start naming all of these things, but again, I don't feel like that's really what God called me to do. I have my own opinion, and I speak it out. But let me just go into some things concerning the church and show you that, really, a lot of us are upset and we say, how could this happen? How could people in the world act this way? How could they call good evil and evil good? Well, it's been going on in the church for centuries. The church is where all of this has started. And really, again, I really believe that instead of the answer to this problem isn't the church mobilizing people into political action. Again, there's a place for that. I'm not saying that we totally withdraw from politics or anything like that, but I'm saying that's not our real strength. Our real strength is to preach the gospel and to stand for moral things and change people's lives one at a time. And as we change individuals, then our society changes as they begin to start voting and reflecting this change that has taken place in their life. Our real power isn't to just pass laws. Like if we somehow or another passed a law that say all, well, I guess there is a law that adultery is wrong, but nobody enforces it. But you know what? If we were to pass laws that homosexuality was wrong, and if we were to start passing laws, you know, that wouldn't change our nation. What it would do is probably cause a civil war, is because we have so many people that their heart has already gone wrong, and all it would do is just cause problems. It's not passing laws that are going to solve things. What's going to solve things is if we go out and if we begin to let our light shine and people's hearts begin to change, and if the vast majority of people in this nation get to where they embrace godly principles, well, then I guarantee you everything would change as a result. And we would have laws for the minority that are out there trying to do things. There's always going to be some people who are rebellious and not submitting to God. But you can't legislate the majority of people and make all these things happen. The real strength of the church is to come in and preach the gospel and to see people's lives change. So let me just share some things. And there's a lot of things I could mention. I'm just going to pick on the sovereignty of God issue. And you know what? In my estimation, this is the church calling good evil and evil good. Calling light darkness and darkness light. They're saying that God is the one who causes the tragedies in our life. You know what that is? That's calling evil good. We are attributing evil to God and saying that it's God's fault. And this has started in the church. The church has been the one that's been perverse.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to make a difference by being salt and light in the world. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado. It's available in an 8-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM230 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the fifth teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I know that the Lord has touched many of you today and you're just beginning to come alive, that you know what, there's more than just this physical, emotional existence, that there's a spirit being, and you've felt some life through this, and you just, you know, it's a help, but there's so much more and you don't know exactly where to go. You know, I'd like to encourage you to get these materials, but as you call in, I'd really like to encourage you to ask someone just to pray and agree with you for revelation of this, that this would become reality. We have some wonderful people answering the phones. I mean, I get compliments on them all the time. They're mature Christians that will be able to help you. So call and request the materials, but also ask them for prayer.